Open your Bible to the book of Jude. I'm going to read the first three verses. It's only one chapter long. I'm going to use this kind of as a text for what I'm going to talk about tonight. It starts off and says, Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called, mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Now, of course, Jude goes on and talks about those that have departed from the truth, or those that have crept in the churches and have brought in false doctrine and have brought in things that were not according to God's Word. I have titled this The Defense of the Bible Doctrine of Election and Predestination. In our modern times, we are one of the few churches around this part of the country and even a lot of other parts of the country that still teach these two doctrines, which is wrapped up in one when we entitle it Salvation by Grace. Election and predestination is God's grace. Amen. Now, oftentimes, the people are called on, God's people are called on to defend those things that they believe. Amen. And I have encouraged you over the years to study and to learn these things. Amen. Now, I don't think that most of you have put forth the effort that you need to be able to do this. Some years ago, I wrote up some Sunday school lessons on about 30-something basic doctrines that Baptists have always believed. Amen. And I don't think that the majority of our church understand them enough to defend them as they should. Amen. So I hope that some of the things that I point out here tonight will help you to do this or learn to do it. Now, I made the notes that I'm using tonight. I made them this afternoon hurriedly and didn't have time to proofread them. But if, when I get through, you would like a copy, I'd like to make some corrections of words that I left out. Sometimes my fingers and my mind don't stay together when I'm typing. And I leave out a word or misspell a word or something of that nature. But anyway, if anyone does want a copy of the notes, you can have them. I'll be happy to make you a copy of them after I correct them. All right, the reason that we need to learn some things is because we are approached, at least I am, and I think some of you are on occasions, about a doctrine that we believe. Now, the two main ones that I've had to defend in most of my ministry is grace and eschatology, or the end time. Because the things that I believe the Bible to teach on these two subjects are not what is commonly believed among most churchgoers. Therefore, they question what I believe. Now, we need, therefore, to know some scriptures. We don't need to do like most of those that challenge us. When they challenge us, it is usually with philosophy, not with Scripture. It is always, well, this is what I believe, in most cases. So, for this reason, we need to know at least some of the Scriptures in the Bible that pertain to the doctrines that we believe. We need to be able to defend what we believe, not with philosophy, but with the Word of God. Most people that you encounter will not know any more scriptures than you do. But they will know a few that they feel will disprove what you believe. And the rest of their conversation will not be something that the Bible teaches, but it will be the philosophies that they have or what someone has taught them. Amen. Now, when someone challenges you on something in the Bible that you believe, try to know at least a couple of scriptures that these doctrines that we teach, try to know a couple of scriptures about them. You don't have to learn every scripture in the Bible about them. In fact, there are some doctrines that have very few scriptures. But you see, how many of you believe you must be born again? Could I see a hand? Yeah, that's about everybody. How many scriptures in the Bible will you find on this? Two. Mainly, John chapter 3. Okay, you don't have to have a bunch of scriptures for it to be a truth. Jesus said you must be born again. And there was a preacher one time that preached a revival meeting for a church, and he preached every night on you must be born again. Somebody questioned him, why are you preaching on that every night? He said, because you must be born again. And it's a truth, and it needs to be preached. So, there may not be a lot of scriptures. In fact is, if you look up the scriptures that mentions election, there won't be a whole lot of them in the scriptures. There won't be a whole lot of times it mentions predestination. But that doesn't mean that they are not important. And we should know a few scriptures about them. It would be good if everyone that are members of our church would write down the major doctrines that our church believes and look up a couple of scriptures on each one of them. And that teaches what we believe about them. And then start trying to memorize a few of those scriptures. Now, I know most of us, a lot of us are old, but we still got some memory. We can still remember a few things. Now, it's easier when you're young, but we can still memorize some things. In the study of election, let me make a couple of recommendations if you're taking notes. I know Connie is. She's been doing that on me 40 years. How big a stack of note paper have you got, Connie? Several rooms full? Okay, I'm going to give you a couple that I think is good. On election, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 4. Knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. Now, that's about as plain and short as it can get. God elected us. And he says, Paul says in this letter to the Thessalonians, knowing, brother beloved, your election of God. Then in 2 Peter, chapter 1 and verse 10, he says, wherefore the brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, ye shall never fail. Now, not only does it say we are elected, but it encourages us to make that calling and election sure. All right, on predestination. A couple of good ones, Romans 8, 29 and 30. It says, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. Then Ephesians 1:5. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Now, both of these show us that our salvation is predetermined of God. After you know these scriptures and where to find them, then when you are confronted by someone, ask the person that challenged you on these doctrines, after you have presented these scriptures to them, ask them what they believe about predestination and election. Now, I had close kin folks tell me that he didn't believe in that old predestination. I said, you better believe something, or you're saying you don't believe the Bible.
Right.
Now, if it's in the Bible, you got to believe something about it, or you don't believe God's Word. So ask them about this, or whatever doctrine you might be talking about. Here is the thing. People, and I found out this early in my life, people want to put you on the defensive. Don't let them do it. Take the offense. let them defend. So if they ask you about a belief such as predestination and election, give them a scripture so they'll know it's in the Bible. And once you have given it to them, ask them, now what do you believe about this? Let them explain it away. Because that's what they'll have to do. Because it's there. Put them on the defense. Don't let them put you there. If they can answer you, if they can do that, it will probably be with philosophy. It probably won't be with other scriptures. Keep them on the scriptures. Don't let them do this. Make them stick to the Bible. Don't let them talk about what they believe. Say, show me. Where is it in the Bible of what you believe? I've shown you some scriptures of why I believe this. Now, you give me some scriptures of why you don't believe it. Challenge them. Most of them that I've encountered, when I challenge them, they'll say, well, I believe whosoever will. They usually only use those two. Whosoever is one word and will is one word. Ask them then where that is in the Bible. Now, it's in there. But see if they know what they believe. It's in the Bible, but challenge them to know the scriptures. It says in Romans chapter 10, in verse 13, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Also in Revelation chapter 22, in verse 17, it says, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. Let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. All right? So it's in there. Whosoever will is in there. If they give you these scriptures, then tell them that you believe also whosoever will. Because it's there in the Bible. Tell them that you do, and then ask them who will. Now, this is a good question. Remember it. When they say, I believe in whosoever will, ask them who will come. I think I know what their answer is. If they give you these scriptures, they'll probably know. And then they'll probably say, I don't know who's going to come. That's a normal answer. Tell them you do. You know who's going to come. Because that's going to surprise them. Then give them John chapter 6, verse 37. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. We know who's going to come, don't we? The ones the Father has given to the Son. That's exactly the ones that's going to come. That's the ones that He died for. Now, they're going to believe that he died for everybody. But he didn't. If he died for everybody, everybody would be saved. Everybody would come. But he didn't. He died for those the Father gave to him. Also, give them Acts chapter 13, verse 48. It says, "And when the Gentiles heard this," that is, the preaching of the gospel, "they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord, and as many as were ordained to eternal life believed." See, that's who's going to come. The word ordained here means to be appointed or determined. As many as were appointed or as many as were determined to eternal life believed. I was first many years ago before I came to this church, I pastored for a couple of years down at Cove at Emmanuel Baptist. And they had scheduled a revival meeting before they ever called me. And this guy from Amarillo, Texas came. And he and I discussed the scriptures as I always did with preachers. And my fame, I think, had spread about what I believed. And he said, he made the statement while he was there. He said, "I sure do wish I could explain Acts 13:48. I said, "I can." What he didn't want to do, he didn't want to explain it. He wanted some way of getting around it. But that's hard to do. Now, some people will claim that Baptists do not believe the doctrine of election and predestination. They will tell you that is Calvinism. Now, for most of my ministry, I have resented this being called Calvinism. I do not like the term. You don't hear me mentioning the term. And I'm going to get to why. They think that John Calvin, the founder of the Presbyterian church group, was the one that first started teaching this. Do not believe this. All of the confessions of faith that Baptists have had up to modern times teaches these two doctrines. The most modern confession of faith that Baptists have used, the Southern Baptists use it, Missionary Baptists use it, far as I know, the Independent Baptist used it, was Pendleton's 18 articles of faith of what Baptists believe. It was accepted by this church when it was organized. Amen. And it was accepted by all Baptist churches, at least for many years. Probably not now. Now, the ABA, Missionary Baptist ABA, when I was active in that, they would accept these because they were in Bogard's Waybook. But later on, after I came here, they changed some of them. Anyway, we go back to 1833, and we have the New Hampshire Confession of Faith, and they teach it, both of them. They teach predestination and election. Also, a little farther back, the Philadelphia Confession of Faith, a Baptist doctrine, teaches election and predestination. In 1697, the Particular Baptists of England published a confession of faith, and they taught it. In 1644, a group of Baptist churches presented to King James the London Confessions of Faith, and it was revised in 46. And then again in 1689. All of these taught predestination and election. Amen. And going back even before Baptists, for the name Baptists, the Waldenses in 1120 taught this doctrine. In the early days of Christianity, those that would later be known as Baptists believed these doctrines. The Novationists, the Donatists, the Paulicians, and even on down to the Waldenses. And all others that would later be called Baptists. It was a Waldensian preacher that taught John Calvin these doctrines that are now called Calvinism. Now, I want to give you just briefly some scriptures if you want to write them down. This is not all of them, but this is some. Scriptures pertaining to election. Matthew 24:22, Mark 13:20, John 6:37, John 17:6, Ephesians 2:10, 2 Thessalonians 2:13, 1 Thessalonians 1:4. Scriptures pertaining to predestination. Jeremiah 1:4. Now this is one that everyone ought to look up. Jeremiah 1:4. For he was ever formed in the womb. The Lord said, I knew you, and I ordained you to be a prophet. Matthew 25:34, John 6:44, John 17:2, 6, and 9, Acts 13:48, Romans 8:28 and 29, Ephesians 1:4. Now, out of those two groups, you ought to be able to pick a couple of scriptures and commit them to memory. And then you can do what I have said do here, and hopefully you can defend Amen. What you believe concerning these two doctrines. All right, I'm going to stop there, see if there's any questions. Sean, just Sean, he first, then I'll get you.
If they have, except for those that are there are only one.
Right. You should have two you should have a couple of scriptures for a doctrine. You shouldn't let anybody try to take one scripture and especially out of context.
Well, if it's out of context, no. Now, if it's something that only has one scripture that says it directly,
in context,
then you can yeah. use it. But you're right. It's better to have two of everything that you present if you possibly can. Okay, Jerry?
I didn't mean to make the implication where it goes that there was two different places.
Yeah.
Where it said born again, because right. Jesus, when he was talking to Nicodemus in the third chapter of John, he said born again twice.
Twice, in the same passage.
Yes, yeah, sir.
Yeah. Okay, anyone else?
Anybody that reads these passages, no matter what they believe, how they can still believe that Jesus died for everybody.
Well, there's a lot of people that believe that, Brother Taylor, and it is mostly scriptures like John 3:16 that they feel. Yeah, God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son. But still, every group that I know of, except one, believes in, actually they believe in the limited atonement and don't know it. Because they believe that the only one that Christ is really going to atone for is those that believe Him. That believe in Him. But they don't think that, they say, well, but He died for everybody. Of course, that's, as we talked about this morning, that's double jeopardy. You're paying for the same sin twice, you know, and so that don't make sense at all.
It doesn't say all that come to me, the Father will give me.
No. Because if some come, just like Judas.
If say, Lord, Lord, they'll say, depart from me.
Right. Anyone else? Okay. We need to have a word of prayer to dismiss from our worship service and then get to our business meeting. Brother Paul Bolin, would you dismiss us, please?